So today what I want to do is I want to continue our series of talks on the topic of salvation. I never intended for this to be more than just a one-week message, but as I've studied, I want to be very frank and upfront with you. I've learned a lot myself. And what we're doing in this series is we're discovering that salvation can be compared to a puzzle that is made up of several pieces. And as I said last week, if we're going to have a complete, clear picture, we need to make sure that all the pieces of the puzzle are in place, okay? By the way, last week I shared with you that Heather went down to the River Falls Public Library. I hope I'm not giving them any bad press. I think they're great. But she went down to the library to check out a puzzle, a 1,000-piece puzzle. She brought it home all excited, opened up the box of the puzzle just to discover that in the box was a note telling her that there was 28 pieces of the puzzle that were missing. Okay? I don't know about you, but my response is, really? Are you kidding me? By the way, how many people know there comes a time when it's okay to throw something away? By the way, just show of hands, how many would have continued on with that puzzle? Okay, well, good for you guys. You guys are... We'll pray for you. So I did the math. I think that's 2.8% of the pieces were missing. Is that right, Nick? 28 of 1,000? 2.8? Whatever. I'm sorry to put him on the spot. So anyway, what happened is Monday, a dear friend of mine came and he said, I liked your puzzle illustration. So he bought me a puzzle. And it's a 100-piece puzzle. Okay? And it's called the helmet puzzle. So all the helmets of the NFL, including the Packers and the Vikings and the Steelers, all the pieces, don't go there, okay? They're all there, okay? They're all there. And this is what happened. I went home and put it on the table. And then the next day I said, Heather, did you see my gift? Did you see my gift of this 100-piece puzzle? You know what? She looked at me and she said, even you could do that puzzle. Even you. So I'm not sure if that was a compliment or what. So one of these days, we're going to try to put that piece of the puzzle together, okay? So anyway, either way, let's get back to our business here. And that is, as I mentioned earlier, salvation could be compared to a puzzle that's made up of several pieces. Several pieces. By the way, let's look at some of those pieces on the screen. The pieces of the salvation puzzle could definitely include faith. We talked about that week one. Last week we talked about repentance, that good old-fashioned word that we don't hear enough about anymore, good old repentance. Salvation definitely includes sanctification. We're going to go there probably next week. Then there's the word adoption. I love that one, adopted. By the way, I like them all, okay? But adoption means I have this new father. My father is no longer the devil, but I have this father who is in heaven, who's God. Because of faith in Christ, I'm adopted. We could talk about justification. We have this new standing between God and us. And then the last piece of the puzzle that we could talk about is the piece called regeneration. Regeneration. By the way, just a show of hands, and I would love for everyone to respond to this question. And don't feel bad if you can't respond. I just want to ask you, how many people have ever heard of the word regeneration? If you've heard the word regeneration, okay, wow. That's good. You guys are a lot further along than I would have been, okay? Regeneration. So that's what we want to do today, is we want to talk on this topic of regeneration. What is it, okay? So can we bow our heads this morning? Let's just pray for the help of the Holy Spirit, that it would be a lot more than just me sitting up here. I've done my work. I've tried to do my work of preparation. And now what we need more than anything is we need the Holy Spirit to come and to illuminate, open our minds, open our hearts. Amen. How many people know that there's a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit that He illuminates? He leads us into what? Truth. So we just ask right now, Father, we just ask right now, Holy Spirit, that You would just come and be at work in the dynamics of this service for the next few minutes. We just ask that this wouldn't be my time, but this would be Your time. That this would be the time that You could speak to Your people through the power of Your word. And as we were reading in Isaiah this week, it says that the word of God will not return void, but but it will go forward and accomplish all that you desire for it to accomplish. And I pray for the fulfillment of that thought today, that your word would go forth in power, that your word would go forth in the power accompanied by the Holy Spirit and do things that are way beyond humanly possible. We ask that this would be a God moment in this house. And we just thank you and praise you. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What I want to do today is I want to begin by saying that in the Bible, the word generation is a lot like, there's a lot of words like this in the Bible, but there's other words that you could say are interchangeable. So in the case of regeneration, there's these interchangeable words. For example, let me just share with you some interchangeable phrases that are used in the New Testament and even the Old Testament for the word regeneration. You probably heard some of these before. How many people have ever heard of the term new birth? Have you heard a new birth? That's regeneration. How many people have ever heard of this phrase, born from above? I'm born from above. That's regeneration. Here's another one, especially in the 70s and 80s. It wasn't met with a lot of excitement, and I'm not sure why. There was a lot of negative attached to it. But how many people have ever heard of the phrase, born again? How many people, come on, have you heard of born again, okay? So in my studies this week, basically those are words, they're kind of metaphors to describe generation or regeneration. By the way, which one of those phrases does Jesus use when he speaks to a man named Nicodemus about his need for regeneration? Does anyone know? He says, you must be, everybody say, you must be born again. Okay, so what he's saying, Nicodemus, you must experience this regeneration. Regeneration, you must be born again. So here's the approach that I'm going to take today. It's going to be really simple. As we talk about regeneration, I'm going to ask three questions and hopefully do my very best to answer these same three questions. Here's the questions. They're on the screen. How important is it? We're going to talk about that. How important is it? Number two, we're going to talk about what is it? We need to know what it is. And number three, they're all important. How do we receive it? So those are the three questions. How important is it? What is it? How do I receive it? So if you're ready, let's go for it. Question number one, how important is it? How important is it that we experience regeneration? How important is it that we are born again? Well, to answer this question, I want to direct your attention to John chapter 3. If you have your Bible, you can open to John 3. If not, it's on the screen. Always want us to be carrying our word with us, okay? John chapter 3. Here in John chapter 3, we find Jesus Christ, God's Son, incarnated, having a conversation with a man named Nicodemus. So that's the context. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, and they're having this conversation, and Jesus talks to Nicodemus about his need to be born again, his need to experience this regeneration. And I want to direct your attention to two verses. First of all, verse 3, John 3, 3. You may have seen this at a football game. Every once in a while, or a sporting event, somebody will hold up a sign that will say John 3, 3. Has anybody ever seen that before? Well, let's look at what that verse says, okay? Jesus replied, he's talking to Nicodemus, he replied, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. By the way, how many people know what the result of the truth is? It will do what? It will set you free. It will set you free. I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what he tells Jesus, God's Son tells this man Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Then you jump down to verse 7. Jesus again speaking. He says, so don't be surprised, Nicodemus, when I say these words. You, Nicodemus, must be born again. So what we see in these two verses is how important it is that we're born again. How important it is that we experience regeneration. So this is what I want you to hear. The truth of the matter is that in order for anyone, not just Nicodemus, but me, you, anyone, in order for anyone to see the kingdom of God, which, by the way, is interchangeable with also with the kingdom of heaven, in order for anyone to see the kingdom of God, to see the kingdom of heaven, here's what must happen. They must be born again. They must be born again. They must experience what we're talking about this morning, regeneration. This is universally true of every person. Of all 6.8 billion people that walk the face of the earth today, if they want to see the kingdom of God, if they want to see the kingdom of heaven, experience it in their life, here's the qualification. They must be born again. And here's the reason why I bring it up. When I was growing up in church, and I was a product of a kid that went to church, as I've said many times, twice on Sunday, once on Wednesday, every time the doors were open, my parents were dragging all six kids to church. And when I was growing up, I used to think there, just follow with me, I used to think that there were two types of Christians. Two types of Christians. I think some of you are going to relate to what I'm saying. First type of Christian I thought were what I would call back when I was a teenager or younger than that, with that kind of mind, I used to think there were the normal Christians. Normal Christians. These were the nice people. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And they did a lot of nice things. They mowed the neighbor's lawn when they were out of town. They shoveled the driveway of the old couple across the street. They even helped little kids across the crosswalk. These were the nice people, the nice Christians. They were labeled as conservatives. They had high morals and values. They didn't smoke. They didn't drink or sleep around or hang out with those who did. Okay? That's in my teenage mind, or even younger. I used to think those were the nice Christians. I want to be a nice Christian. That's the kind of Christian I want to be. And then in my mind, I used to think then there was the second group of Christians that were called the born-again Christians. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Born-agains, these were the, I'm just telling you how I was thinking, so don't be offended. These were the radicals. These were kind of the weirdos. Those who came from backgrounds that were broken, dysfunctional. They came from backgrounds where they came from addiction, okay? These were the people that were often labeled weird, and they were over the top. They were different. These are the people that were weak and they needed a crutch. They needed a crutch to lean on, so they were born again Christians. By the way, does anybody even remotely know where I'm coming from with those thoughts? I'm not alone. Oh, cool. Good. I thought I was weird. Maybe I'm because I'm born again, okay? So the born again Christians, and then there were just the nice Christians. But here's what I discover as I study the Word of God, the Bible. Whoever we are, wherever we've been, if we want to see the kingdom of God, if we want to experience the kingdom of heaven, whoever we are, wherever we've been, the qualification is what? What is it? We must be what? Born again. There's not two different groups of Christians. They're the same. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's not. I don't know where we got off with that, but that's how it's happened. So regardless of the background, you need to be born again. I mean, if you think and you look at the passage in John chapter 3, you think of Nicodemus. I want to tell you a little about Nicodemus. He was an older gentleman. He was a very seasoned person, a very distinguished man. He was rich. He was highly educated. He was very intellectual. Today we would say he was a part of the cultural elite of that culture. He was a prominent member of the high council. He was a guy that we would say that he had his act together. If Nicodemus was here today, we would be like, wow, impressive. This religious man, Nicodemus, has it all together. Nicodemus today, we would say, was one of the blue bloods of society. He was that type of guy. And yet Jesus comes to a guy that outwardly had it all together. Outwardly, we would say, wow, sharp, has it all together, every I dotted, every T crossed. But Jesus knows that there's a bigger issue, and the issue is what? Our hearts. And Jesus says, hey, Nicodemus, he doesn't say this, but this is kind of the paraphrase. Yes, you have it all together. Yet, yes, everybody sees that you're kind of special. You're a blue blood. You're the elitist. But Jesus says to this man, hey, Nicodemus, here's one thing you lack, and that is you must be born again. You must be born from above. You must have this rebirth in your life. Nicodemus, that's you. So folks, what I want to point out is this born-again experience isn't only for certain types of people. Let me say that again. This born-again experience isn't only for certain types of people or certain types of Christians. It's for all those who want to have a relationship with their Creator God. That's how I read the Scriptures. The necessity of regeneration is, let me say it this way, it's universal. This is how important it is that you and I must take this into consideration. We need to visit this, not only today, but beyond today in our quiet time with God. We need to revisit how important it is that we are born again. Question number two, if it's so necessary, what is it? What is regeneration? Well, I want to let you know, I probably read about 10, 15 pages of notes this week, and it's just overwhelming. Smoke's coming out of your ears. I'm like, wow, college all over again. I'm thinking, because I just want to bring it to the people. What is regeneration? And one of my goals in preaching is to do this. And I heard somebody say this years ago, put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Because I want everybody to understand what it is. I want to put the cookies where you can understand and what we're talking about. So what is regeneration? Here's the best definition I could find. I think the most simplest, yet it nails it right on the head. It's on the screen. Regeneration is when God puts His Spirit in us. Stop. Don't read on. Think about that. God puts His Spirit in you. And here's the result. He puts His Spirit in us, giving us new life. I love that, new life. He gives us a new nature. How many people know we were born with what kind of nature? Sinful nature. We need a new nature from above. So God puts His Spirit in us, gives us new life. He gives us a new nature. Check this out. He gives us a new heart. And as a result, we have these new affections. We have these new desires. We have these new motives. We have these new things that we're going after, all because of the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Regeneration, my friends, isn't something simple. It's something powerful. I want to read that again. God puts His Spirit in us, giving us new life, a new nature, a new heart, new affections and desires by the power of the Holy Spirit. In short, the Cliff Notes is this. We become a new person. When we experience regeneration, when we are born again, we become this new person. I'm not talking physically. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm not talking outwardly, yet people will see outward results. I'm talking about there's something radical that happens when God from above places His Spirit in your life. You become a new person. So what I want to do for the next few minutes is I want to share a couple Bible verses that touch on what regeneration is. I want us to see it in the Bible. Let's go, first of all, don't try to find it. Let's just look to the screen. Ezekiel 36, Old Testament even talks about the need to be regenerated, born again. God speaking to His people in a word of prophecy, He says this, and I will give you a new heart. Everybody say new heart. And I will put a new spirit. Everybody say new spirit. I'll put a new heart and a new spirit. Where is He going to put it? In me, in you. He's going to do that. He's going to put it in you. And check out what He's going to do. He says, I will take out your stony, stubborn heart. And in replacement, I'll give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put My Spirit in you for the second time, He says, so that you will follow My decrees and carefully obey My regulations. I underlined it in my notes. Four times God says, I will, I will, I will, I will. We need to keep that in mind later. God does it. Amen? He does it. He gives you a new heart. He gives you a new spirit. He takes out that old, stony, stubborn heart, and He replaces your old heart with this heart now that's tender. It's now responsive to what? To Him. Because your old heart's not responsive to Him. But this new heart is responsive and it's tender and it's open, saying, God, wow, I don't want to live my life. Wow, God, I am so jacked up on wanting to do what You want me to do because I have this new heart. So that's God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. Let me go to one more passage. It's found in Ephesians chapter 2. This is a great passage. We could have just talked on this one alone and got a lot of meat and content out of it. But go to Ephesians 2. Paul speaking to who? Everybody say Christians. So he's kind of speaking in a little past tense about what happened in them before they came to Christ. So keep that in mind. Paul says, once you were dead. Can everybody say those first four words together? Because I want to make sure it gets in you. Once you were dead. I want to let you know that before I came to Christ, I was a part of that crowd. I was what? Everybody say it. Dead. He's not talking about physically dead. He's talking about what? Spiritually, I was dead. Before coming to Christ, I was dead. He says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. Oh, listen to this. Obeying the devil, who is the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit, the devil, at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of what? Our sinful nature. Remember, we got a new nature now, but our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Everybody say these next two words together. But God. Let's say that together. But God. Let's say, like, with a little passion, but God is what? So rich in mercy, meaning we don't get what we deserve. God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead, roadkill, we were dead because of our sins, he gave us what? Life. That's the rebirth right there. That's regeneration. Because of his mercies, when we were dead in our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And he concludes by saying, it's only by God's grace that you have been saved. So what we see in both of these scriptures is we see the work of regeneration. We're born with what? A sinful nature. We start off spiritually dead on this journey of life. We're in need of desperate help. Help that we can't get in our own abilities. We need help from above. But all this changes when God shows up and gives us new life. From where? Everybody say, from above. That's why Paul says this verse, and we quote it a lot around here. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, meaning you're in a relationship in Christ, he's what? He's a new creation. New creation. In Christ, you're this new creation. The old has passed away. The old nature, the old sinful nature is gone. Actually, it still exists, but now there's this new nature. Now there's a battle going on. We don't want to go through all that today. The old has passed away. Everybody say, the new has come. I love that. The new has come. God has placed his spirit in you. He's given you a new heart. That's what generation is all about. That's just a brief, brief description of regeneration. Now let's move on to question three. By the way, it looks like we're going to have time today if you have a question. It looks like we're going to have time to ask one or two questions. So if you're thinking about something, make sure you write it down. So everybody, let's just take a pause right now. Maybe I just need to take a pause. If you have a beverage, take a drink. Let's take a commercial. I just want to say this. I know these messages are difficult. But you know what? They need to be heard. They need to be heard. Because one day we're all going to stand face to face with the Lord. Hebrews says it's appointed unto man to die. And then comes what? Judgment. And I want to be ready. I want Heather to be ready. I like her that much. I want Nolan and Grant to be ready. I pray about it frequently. Lord, in my prayer time, Lord, may they encounter a relationship with Jesus, not religion. A relationship. And then there's several of those days that I include every one of you. Some of you, to be honest, by name, I pray for you. But generally speaking, for all of us that attend this church and make their church this home, I so have a desire and passion that you know the truth. That you know the truth, because in our culture today, the truth is not relevant much anymore. And my heart for you is I want so desperately for you to know the truth of God's word. And you know, you have a lot of pastors, and this is just a brief commercial, that challenge their people to be in the word. And that's a great thing. You folks, we need to be in the word. Amen. There's no substitute for you. As my buddy out on the West Coast says, you need to stay in the story. You need to stay in the Word because it's the Word. Yeah, Judah Smith will say, stay in the Word, stay in the story, stay in the book. It's got to be living in you. So I preach these messages, and I know they're challenging for many because we've all come from a lot of different backgrounds, and even church backgrounds. But my heart for you is, Lord, I want them to know you. I don't want them to only know about you. I want them to know you personally as the Savior and the Lord of their lives. Amen? And that's my heart. That's why we're going back to the basics. Back to the basics, because what some people think are the basics are very, very new and first-time things for a lot of other people. And we need to make sure that we're rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and our roots are going down deep. Because I want to let you know there are storms that are coming on the horizon. And when the wind blows and when the storm comes, those who are going to stand or remain standing are those who are rooted and grounded and have their foundation built upon God. Amen? And I just want to make sure that you're ready, that I'm ready for the time of Christ's return. Amen? So let's go. How do we receive this born-again experience? How do we receive regeneration, the birth from above? I'm going to be very candid with you. This is a great question. I'm going to be very candid. I'm going to do my best to answer the question. And here's what's happening in my life. I used to think I knew all the answers. Especially in my 20s and 30s, there was an arrogance about me that I thought I knew all the answers about God, all the workings of God. But now that I've entered my 50s, I'm finding out that God is a lot bigger than me. Oh, is he much bigger than me? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm finding out now that I have a lot more questions than I do answers. But the Word of God is our source. Amen? The Word of God is our source. So how do we receive it? Let me begin by saying that regeneration is not a work that we do. It's a divine work. Remember that word in Ezekiel 4 times? He says, I will, I will, I will, I will. God's saying, I'm the one who does this. I will do it. It's a divine work. It's altogether and absolutely the work of God. It's the work of God. I think back to this passage where Jesus is explaining it to Nicodemus. He explains it with the metaphor, it's like the wind. It's like the wind. We can't always figure out the wind, but we know that it's the wind. We know it's the Spirit that does these things. Okay, he's saying it's the work of the Spirit. So practically speaking, we have no more to do with the second birth than we do our first birth. I don't know about you, but I really didn't have much to do with my first birth. I remember that day. I really didn't have much to do about it. I've been in the delivery room for two births, two miracles. Nolan and Grant, they really didn't have much to do with it. I want to let you know, Heather had a lot to do with it. A lot. 9 months, and then the big grand finale, there's a lot there, okay? So let's not go there. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. This theme is true of the spiritual birth. I'm trying to, all these readings you read all week, and you try to, what do you throw away, what do you keep? So let's move on. I want you to read one verse, Titus 3:5. It's on the screen. He, who's he? God. He saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done. So you can check that off your list. But because of his what? Everybody say the word, mercy. He washed away our sins. Thank the Lord. Amen. How many people are thankful he washed away your sins? Check this out. Check out Paul talking to Titus. He washed away our sin. Don't miss the wording here. Bold print in my notes. Giving us a new what? Birth. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth. And what else? A new life. How? Through the Holy Spirit. So what we see from this verse is regeneration is a divine work. It's a work of God. And I can't always understand how that work is in you and it's working in me. I think it's so different in different people. I can't get my mind around it. It's just so perplexing. It's so amazing. It's such a, to me, it's a mystery how God does that so differently in so many different people. So we see it's a divine work, yet there's a human side to the work. And there's a verse that puts both of those together, how it's divine and human. And the verse is found in, and it's our last verse of the morning, John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Let's read this together. Or don't read it together, you follow along. It says, but to all who believed him, everybody say believed. and accepted, say accepted. So to all who believe and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Adoption. Check this out. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from who? From God. So what we see in this verse is you see both sides, that regeneration is a birth that comes from God, but it's a birth that comes to God to those who what? Believe and accept what God has done through his Son, Jesus Christ. So my discovery is this, and I'm just going to be very candid with you. My discovery is this: for some people, this happens instantaneously. Sorry if I woke you up. For some people, this happens instantaneously. I mean, some people hear the gospel, and the very first time they hear the gospel, the first time, something amazing, they believe, they accept, they come to salvation, they come to this new birth, they're regenerated, it's instantaneous. But here's what I've discovered in my life and other people, it's progressive. Meaning they sit in church year after year. And some sit for a long time. And it just doesn't seem like they're getting it. Yet, one day, after hearing and hearing, one day something happens and then something clicks inside of them. And it's at that moment, after years being in church, hearing God's word, reading God's word, something happens in their life. They experience this new birth. I think it's like the wind. It's like the Spirit. I don't understand it. It's spontaneous. It's different. But I know that for us, for me, it was instantaneous as a fifth grader. For other people, I've heard people say it took years for me to just, the Spirit at work. The Spirit at work softening my heart, opening my mind. But then they came to a born-again experience. But here's my concluding question for you. Have you been born from above? Have you been born from above? Has there been a time where God placed his Spirit in you, gave you new life, a new nature, a new heart? And you knew it because now you had new affections, you had new desires, you had new priorities, you had new goals, you had new things you were going after because God did something supernatural, gave you, there was, you became born again, you became spiritually regenerated. And now it's just like the old things pass away. Behold, the new things come into your life. Have you experienced regeneration? Have you been born again? Have you believed and accepted Christ into your life? So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your people. And Lord, take us on a journey with you. Take us on a journey with you. I just really sense that's the spirit of so many people in this room. They're just hungry. They're just hungry. They want more. They want more of you. Take us on a journey with you. Show us more of yourself. Show us more of your glory, Lord. Reveal more of who you are to us. In Jesus' name. And let's have a great day. God bless you. And everyone said, amen. We love Jesus in this house. We make much of him. Have a great week. Thank you for being here.